BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's 4 o'clock. I'm Sam, I'm 22, and I'm from Caldecott in South Wales. You might not know this, but I've got a blowfish at my nose. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
The Scott Mills Daily.
So, Sam, you're out with your friends, and what happened?
I was out in a club, and there was blowfish hanging from the ceiling, and basically they decided that they wanted to take one home. She tried to hit one down with a bag, hit me in the face, and, yeah, so I've still got a bit of blowfish left in my nose.
What kind of club has live blowfish hanging from the ceiling?
It was kind of like a Hawaiian-themed one, so is it a Hawaiian thing? I'm not sure.
Were they actual fish?
They were actual dried, dead fish.
Ugh. So were you knocked out by it?
No, I wasn't knocked out. It hit me in the face and even really think anything of it. And I touched my face, there was blood all over my face. I looked like I'd been attacked by a cat.
Do you still have a bit of blowfish in your nose?
Yeah, because when I went to the hospital, the doctor said he couldn't feel it, but it's definitely 100% still there. It's actually a bit of a party trick now. I'd be like, yeah, I've got a bit of blowfish in my nose.
If it's in your nose all the time, do you, like, sometimes just stand there and like, oh, what's that smell? I can smell fish. Do you have that all the time?
No. No, it's quite far up. It's, like, nearly up by my eye. It's, like, the top of my nose. So it just feels like an extra bit of bone.
No, I can't cope.
What if it starts growing and I love...
Okay, I'm going to have to terminate this now.
What if it grows into another fish?
I can't deal with things like this.
And then they just start swimming around your eyeball.
Anyway, thanks for introducing the show today. I've got to go. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
You know I'm squeamish for things like that. Whoa. So, official chart update, and now we are on some more science today, courtesy of Greg Foote, our science friend from BBC Three's Secrets of Everything. It's a good one today. And if you are missing One Direction because they're in America, we will speak to Liam Payne at 4:40 on the phone in America.
The Scott Mills Daily.
There's a real problem in San Marino at the moment.
Right?
Where's that?
I know, that's what I was thinking. Am I going to be the only person to ask? Or
it's a small country near Italy, surrounded by mountains and beautiful countryside. At the Eurovision Song Contest in Dusseldorf last year, I went to the San Marino party one evening, because each country holds a little party on one of the nights, and I remember their Diet Coke being really flat. That's all I remember.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because I got out of a bottle, you know, and it just loses its fizz.
Oh, so it wasn't a problem with the Wunderbar or whatever they call that, like,
no,
spouty thing?
Yeah. Anyway, that's not the problem in San Marino. It's not just the flat Diet Coke.
I was going to say, it's taken you a while to talk about it, if that was a year ago and you've suddenly remembered.
Well, their Eurovision Song Contest entry for this year is, compared to ours, which is quite old school, let's be honest, Engelbert, theirs is bang up to date. And their song has a subtle message about social networking in it. I'm going to play you the song now. You have to listen carefully or you will miss the thing about social networking, the message that they're trying to get over. So this is San Marino's entry for Eurovision 2012. Brilliant video to accompany it as well. I found this on Monday. I've only just remembered I should talk to you about it. Here it is. Valentina Moneta.
It's a story about a social door you've never seen before. If you wanna be seen by everyone, wanna be in the dream and have some fun. If you wanna be on the hook, simply take a look.
Here we go.
Facebook, cool. Everybody loves you so. Facebook, cool. Everybody that you know. Do you wanna be more than just a friend? Do you wanna be cyber sex again? If you wanna come to my house, you click me.
Everybody loves you so.
You're logging in.
Oh.
Then it begins.
Click me with your mouse. So this is the San Marino entry for Eurovision, where it was. But sadly, Valentina Minetta there has broken Eurovision rules.
Oh no, how?
Since I found out about this song on Monday, it's all gone off. She has broken Eurovision rule 1.2.2.G, which states that no commercial messages of any kind shall be allowed.
Oh.
So they have until midday on Friday to find a new entry. Because that's not happening. They have to take all mentions of Facebook out of their song, Facebook, Does anything rhyme with Facebook? They can't enter this one now. San Marino's in the middle of Italy. My apologies.
Sorry. You should just rhyme Mark Zuckerberg with something else. That's going to have to go as well, isn't it?
Yeah, all that's going to be off. Yeah. What they could do is...
What rhymes with Mark Zuckerberg?
They could... They could kind of reverse it.
Mark Zuckerberg might sound the same backwards.
They can't have that because it breaks the Eurovision rules.
Like the main chorus.
Well, it could just go. Everybody loves you so. But that's going to be rubbish,
isn't
it?
Then all the bits about clicking me with your mouse is going to be not going to make any sense.
No. So they haven't got much time till Friday at midday. Because that was going to be their Eurovision entry. And they haven't realised. They've left it to the last minute, to be honest, to realise they've broken the rules.
So are they going to have to find another one? They must have to find another one now rather than try and get change that one.
I think so. Everyone's like, is this a joke? Yes, I am absolutely serious. That is was their entry for Eurovision.
They can't change it. There's loads of people on the text saying, what about cookbook? Cookbook rhymes with Facebook.
Or what about...
Cookbook is like...
Cookbook, Or book face. Yeah.
Cookbook would be brilliant.
I'm saying
just
that
change Mark Zuckerberg to Ainsley Harriet.
San Marino are in a lot of trouble right now because they want to enter Eurovision, so I'm suggesting we give them this. San Marino, if you're listening, Mile High Club by Mile High Club can be your entry.
It's commercial reference free, this one.
I think you'll find... This sounds like everything else in the charts.
It's happening tonight. We're flying so high. This club's like an aeroplane, and we'll never feel this way again. On a mile high dance floor. Don't miss the fly. We're dancing all night. This club's like an aeroplane, and we'll never feel this way again. On a mile high dance.
This is our song that we made to try and get into the charts in Europe and everywhere around the world.
Bing bong, bing bong. This is your captain speaking. Wanna take off with you this evening. Flown the world to every country. You're the girl tonight who wants me. You can be my navigator and navigate me to the dance floor. Slow your table, put your seat upright. You could be in for a bumpy ride. You're looking hungry for me, golly golly. Up your aisle with my trolley trolley. Trying to work it if you're meat or fish or the vegetarian option dish. When you get that breathless feeling, mask will fall down from the ceiling. Let me show you a way of stopping your ears from popping.
So, San Marino, we're all yours for free as well. If you need us to enter for you, for your country, for Eurovision this year, then that song by us is available. Because let's face it, you can't have this. Oh, yeah.
Some of the options that are coming in of what they can change it to, though. They need to...
Fish hook.
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now I'm going to speak live to one of One Direction. Hello, New York. Hello, Liam Payne.
Hello, Scott.
Oh, it's your voice. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. Feeling really good, really excited. It's a bit of a mental day today.
Yeah. What's been happening so far? You were on daybreak at a ridiculous hour, weren't you?
Yeah, I was up this morning on daybreak at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Because of the time difference.
It wasn't a very welcoming quarter. Bearing in mind it was meant to be Zane, but he didn't wake up, even though he's in the UK, so he's a lazy bones.
Right, so Zane is actually here, but couldn't be asked to pick up the phone.
He was asleep, I think. I don't think he woke up for it.
So instead,
I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning when he would have been up at about eight.
So instead, someone from your management knocked on your door, like, "Get up!"
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I got a phone call from my phone this morning, a knock on the door from our security guy, Preston.
How many hours sleep are you averaging at the moment?
Quite a lot, actually, because we've been in New York for a little bit now, so it's quite a lot at the moment. So we're doing all right.
Are you in your hotel room right now?
Yeah, I'm in my hotel room right now.
Is it fancy?
It's not too fancy, but it's fancy enough.
Can you see good views of New York?
I can see lots of buildings, which I suppose is a good view of New York, but I can't see any really important buildings, I don't think, which isn't so good. But we're right near Times Square, which is nice, and I've been up there a few times.
Have you got tea and coffee-making facilities?
I don't think I have. I think you have to room service it.
Oh. Is there a minibar?
Yes, there is.
They don't do kettles, do they, in America?
No, they don't. No, I was looking for one the other day, but they don't do one.
And a lack of shortbread as well.
But they do have those amazing
shortbread
ice machines in the corridors.
Yes, they do.
Like, what's the point?
You can get ice anytime you want.
I can't say I've ever used one of those. Although there was one time on tour when Harry lent his ice box to a fan who knocked on his door. And then when I came back, the ice box was outside his door with a note on top.
Right. Do try the ice, because you can have as much as you want. It's unlimited, Liam.
Okay, I will try. I'll try it out in a minute. I'll go and play with it for a little bit.
We need to say a massive congratulations to you and the boys, because look at that. The first British group to have a debut number one in America. That is incredible.
I know. I mean, we never really expected anything like this. I mean, we thought we might release a record in the UK and do something there, but, you know, to be out here in America releasing our album and stuff, and for it to go number one, and for us to make some history as well, some One Direction history and some music industry history is amazing. But it's, you know, it's a credit to our fans, really, because, you know, all the UK fans, all the fans all over, they're the people who've got us here, and they were here from the start, and that's the reason that we're doing what we're doing today, really. So, you know, we've got to just say a massive thank you to them. And yeah,
it's not, I mean, this is unprecedented, really, because it's gone straight in at number one. Like, the Beatles didn't do that, Coldplay haven't done it, a British group hasn't done it before, so that must make you feel like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's all happened so quick. I mean, you know, a lot of people, like I said on Daybreak, so a lot of people tell you these sort of stats and things that you achieve and how many numbers you've sold and whatnot. But, you know, we look at it like we don't know if any of it's any good, because obviously we've never heard anything from the music industry before, and then to be hearing these sort of stats and stuff, you just think, is it good? Isn't it good? You don't really know, so you kind of just are quite naive to it all.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, cheers. Can you believe, Liam Payne, it was only the 10th of August last year when you came into the studio with the rest of the boys and we had a chat and we played What Makes You Beautiful for the first time, and lots happened since then.
Yes, and I remember you as well. You must be a little bit psychic, because if you replay your thing back from the start, you say before you play the track, anywhere in the actual world, and then we released it everywhere in the actual world, so you must have known something was going to happen.
Yeah, that's me, psychic.
Because
Scott.
We didn't.
Yeah, no, yeah, you didn't believe me, but I saw it. I had a vision right that day. I did.
I should have known.
With this America thing, how much do you think Facebook and Twitter have helped you get a fan base there already? Because obviously, back in the day, you had to. I mean, I know you've been doing this as well, but you go to every single radio station and you go to every single town and city and do signings, mm-hmm. because America is huge. But how much do you think that social media has actually kind of helped you with that fan base being there already?
Yeah, I mean, massively. I mean, the first time we came over to America, we were recording in LA and we were recording actually What Makes You Beautiful. And we got to the airport and there were fans there already, and that's the first time we ever stepped foot in the country. So, you know, you kind of know that it's all to do with the internet and stuff. And it's, you know, like I say, it's all to do with our fans, you know, the things that they get trending and stuff on Twitter, the things they put on Tumblr and stuff, all the people overseas see it, and then they kind of like go on YouTube and have a look, and if they like it, then they're taking interest. So, you know, it's all thanks to their hard work, and they're typing away at home at stupid o'clock in the morning and whatever else. So, yeah.
The US are loving British bands at the moment and artists. Like, The Wanted got mobbed at LAX yesterday at the airport.
Yeah, they're loving it at the moment. I mean, it's great, you know, that England's doing well out here.
Do you ever get a moment, because I know your schedule is busy as, do you ever get a moment to stop and actually think about what's happening to you? Do you think that's ever going to happen? Or maybe when next time you get a holiday, you'll be like, you'll have this realisation?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those things, actually. Me and Louis were sat in his hotel room the other day, and we started to talk about it a little bit, and that's when you start to realise a bit more, I think, when you actually start to, like, talk about it, it comes out your own mouth of what's actually happened.
And what do you say?
We had, like, a little moment of realisation. It was very romantic.
Was it? What do you say to each other? It's like, can you believe this is happening?
Yeah, it's just that sort of thing, but with different accents.
Can you believe this is happening? Like that, yeah. Obviously, every boy band would like to break America, and that is happening for you. But it's quite a hard balancing act you've got at the moment, because obviously your really original fans are here. Do you feel that there's a lot of fans in the UK that are a bit jealous of the US fans at the moment, with you doing all the sign-ins and all the radio stations over there?
Yeah, I think, you know, we miss home a lot. We want to come back and see all the UK fans and stuff. I mean, but we, you know, at the same time, you know, we've got to try and achieve our dreams and stuff and whatever else. And I know that they realise that as well. They just miss us a little bit.
Yeah, they do.
Can you just say that us UK fans are the best, though?
Yeah, for definite UK fans.
Yay!
We were there.
Yes.
Down. Yeah, but like I said from the start, they were there. They got us to where we are today. And, you know, although they think sometimes we forget that, we don't. We know exactly who started this off for us and stuff. And, you know, we'll be back in the UK very soon doing our arena tour and stuff, and they're the first people who get to see it, and that's the reason why, because they are the best.
So the UK gets to see it first, because you've just announced an American tour over the summer, right?
Yeah, we are doing an American tour over here as well. That's I think it's going to be the same sort of tour as we did over here in the UK with the theatres and stuff.
But we get it first.
You already had it first.
Oh, right, so now you're going to spend time with them. Are you doing the same show, or are you making it different? I'm getting jealous now.
I don't know whether we're making it different or whatnot. Right. But yeah, we're gonna try and put on a good show for everybody.
Oh, right. You are, are you? No, it's good. I'm really, really pleased for you. But I can see what the UK fans are saying. They're worried it's all going too fast, and then before you know it, you'll all be living in LA in your big house.
All said the other day in an interview, actually, somebody asked us if we'd ever, where we'd want to live in the world, and we all said the UK. I mean, you can't be anywhere but home. You know exactly where you are. You can get good fish and chips. There's kettles there as well.
There is kettles.
I mean, there's no ice machines, but there are kettles.
But America's got, like, pretty girls, like, and you can have, like, a model American girlfriend.
Hello?
And
you saying the UK hasn't got pretty girls, Scott?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying...
What are you getting at here, Scott?
I mean, you know what I mean.
I'm a bit confused. I thought you were all for the
just
UK.
Just don't leave us! Don't leave us! Can we have a real personal note of reassurance now from Liam to all the 1D fans in the UK that everything is going to be fine?
I can promise to all the UK fans out there that everything is going to be absolutely fine. Like, there's been a lot of talk of us doing a Nintendo show and stuff, whereas no one's mentioned anything to us, and you know, we want to concentrate on our music and stuff, so we're going to be doing that. I mean, we've got a lot of recording and stuff to do around the world and that, but we are going to be back in the UK very soon, eating fish and chips with our kettles.
Yes.
When that quote is taken out of context, Liam, that's going to sound amazing.
Yeah. Can you bring us back some lush American sweets, please?
Okay. There's a Willy Wonka store up the road, so
yes.
I will buy you some. And I'll bring, next time we're in the radio station, I will bring you some.
Okay, and come back and see us soon, won't you?
We will, for sure. Also, I just want to say... I'm going to be a nerd here and say hello to my dad, because I know he's listening from work.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, you
and he always listens to Scott Mills, so there you go.
That's me.
Are you that busy that you're now having to do shout-outs on when you do radio interviews? That's a crazy life.
Yeah, it's quite weird, but I had to do it. I had
hello,
to be a
Dad.
Nerd.
Also, I had to say hello on when I did BBC Breakfast earlier. I had to say hello to Harry and Louis' mum, who are both late for work because they were watching it.
There you go. See, we're all just being nerds today.
I love it.
We're on TV, Mum.
We're on. I can't believe it. Listen, Liam, it's really, really good to speak to you.
Thank you very much for calling.
And when are you coming back? Do you know? Is it going to be weeks, months, what?
I don't know. We're doing a tour in Australia as well. So we're out there for a
right.
little bit.
Oh, you are, right?
Yes.
All right, listen, the best of luck, and it's really good to speak to you. Come back soon.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon. Bye, everybody in the UK. Speak to you soon. Bye.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I like it that I'm being kind of singled out for restoring peace for fans of UK One Directions. That's brilliant, isn't it? Like, Chris Smith off the news.
You're like the British ambassador to One Direction.
I am. I feel like I've come to some kind of agreement.
Do you want me to nominate you for the Nobel Prize?
If you could, yeah. Because
do they accept nominations just off email?
I don't know. Try it.
It'll be on Newsbeat as One Direction have arrived back in the UK.
I feel like
in terms of the Mills Accord of 2012.
I feel like a proper peacemaker, I do. That's brilliant. People are going, Liam said it's all going to be fine and he loves us the most. Thank you, you've really put my mind at ease. Well, I'm glad I have. That was a really nice chat to Liam in New York from One Direction.
Well, forget about your comments about American girls being way hotter than British.
I didn't say that. You're taking that completely out of context. I said that America, if you'd let me finish, I said America has pretty girls and you go out and models. Not that they don't have them. I didn't say they don't have them here. Oh, awkward.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Greg Foot.
Hello, Scott Mills.
It's time to learn stuff and also to have some fun. Now, you've become like our resident science dude.
It's good, isn't it? 3 weeks in a row.
I really like it. Greg's show is on BBC 3 on Sunday nights and it's called The Secrets of Everything. And answers questions that you've always wanted to know the answer to. Like, really good ones. It makes science fun. Like, what were the questions on last Sunday's show?
We looked at human combustion, spontaneous human combustion, whether that can actually happen or not.
And?
And no, basically, it's not spontaneous. It can be unspontaneous. And then, quite interestingly, you kind of act like an inside-out candle, with your clothing acting like the wick and your body fat acting like the wax.
Oh, that's quite interesting. Can we do that one?
Is that what happens if you smell toast? They always say you smell toast and then you combust, don't they?
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard that one.
Have you not?
No, yeah, you smell
apparently
like burning
toast.
Apparently
that's the warning sign.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you smell toast?
No. Thank goodness.
Did you combust?
No. No, we actually...
the way Scott asked you then was like you'd actually done it and then come back. And
although Sunday's show was full of a lot of pain, actually. We did look at whether you can survive extreme cold, which involved me pretty much going right to the edge of hypothermia in a freezing outdoor pool
in
November.
What I like about you, Greg, is you will do anything for this show.
Yeah, and we pretty much... I kind of got my bottom out on national TV.
What's that for, please?
We were looking at whether a penny dropped off the top of the Empire State Building could kill you if it hit you. So we had my mate throwing pennies at me, trying to reach this magic number of 67 miles per hour, which is the terminal velocity of a penny. It's the fastest a penny can fall if it falls through the air.
And you wanted to do that naked? I'm trying to work out how it links. Is that how science is made fun? Is it like we're dropping a penny off a building and whilst you're stood there with your bum out?
No, I was lying underneath the building with my tummy out as he was kind of throwing these pennies at me, but he just couldn't get it fast enough. So we realised that the only way we were going to get it fast enough was to fire it out the end of an air rifle.
Right.
At which point, the health and safety guy said, you know what? Firing that near kidneys and stomach and stuff, not a good idea. No. Hey, I know what's going to work. Let's fire it at your bottom.
Oh, okay. So a bit fleshier.
Yes.
Is that why?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And
surely that still comes with risks.
Absolutely. Definite aiming shenanigans there. Got to make sure you get that right.
Oh, my God. But it was all fine?
It was all good.
No corrective surgery?
I have two cheeks intact.
Thank God.
Did you draw on a target, like on cartoons? I quite liked it. Like a big bullseye on your left cheek.
Now, previously on this show... We have done a couple of experiments from your BBC Three show. We asked why are chilies hot, even though they're technically not.
Mm-hmm.
And we made Chris eat the world's hottest allowed chili.
Yeah, the UK's most hot legal chili.
Yep.
Ouch.
I still don't think he's fully recovered.
No, I don't.
I haven't seen him or heard him since as anyone. He's still in the bathroom.
Just looks a bit low. You know what I mean? And then we did last week, if you sneeze with your eyes open, do your eyes pop out? And they don't.
They don't.
Thank God.
The highlight of which was just that photo that we saw of you on the website.
Horrible.
With me holding your eyes open and a tissue being wiggled up your nose.
I'm thinking of making that my new DJ photo card.
I think you should.
So, Greg, we have another experiment. What is today's?
So today's experiment is, can swearing help relieve pain?
Right. Because often, I guess, like when you stub your toe or something, the natural thing that you would do is to scream rude words.
Yeah.
Exactly. And does it help? Well, we're about to find out,
I
guess.
That's what I want to have a look at. Now we actually filmed this on my birthday, which was a bit upsetting for the actual show.
For the BBC Three show.
Yeah, and it involved a nice young lady called Ella come at me with a hammer like this.
What?
And she smacked my finger.
Oh.
And then we tried both swearing and not swearing to see how long the pain lasted for. So I have brought the hammer with me.
Right.
Because that's one option we could try.
Have you seen the film Misery?
No.
Is that what it's going to come to eventually? Where you put my feet between a block of wood and just hit them?
It's going to get worse.
Have you not seen that film?
No, I have not.
Watch it.
I'm adding it to my list.
That's for the next series.
Oh, no. Well, we did do Buried Alive, so that was a bit Kill Bill.
It's
well,
right up
it?
Your street. It really is. Get it. Make sure you get that.
So the problem with the hammer is that you can't kind of scientifically do an experiment because you don't know how hard you're hitting, and you can hit different fingers and they may have different pain responses. So what I want to do is get a bucket full of icy cold water and see how long you guys can keep your hand in that bucket without swearing, and then with swearing.
And see what the difference is.
Exactly.
That's next, after Usher on Radio 1. What are your thoughts about Usher?
Well, I know Becky's a fan.
I was going to ask you if you wanted to come in and replace Becky tomorrow. Maybe we could do some science on him.
That's an interesting...
Throw pennies at him at 67 miles an hour.
Bend over, Usher, I've got this rifle. BBC Radio
1. The Scott Mills Daily. Greg is here. Greg Foote, our friend from BBC Three, Secrets of Everything. Sunday night. It's a good show. BBC Three, watch it. So earlier on, we did this experiment, which you can watch now. We're about to play this video. So get to the Radio 1 website and you'll see this happening. So today's experiment is...
Does swearing help with pain relief?
So we got two buckets of ice.
We do indeed. Two buckets of ice here. Two happy volunteers.
Me and
Scott
Becky.
And Becky.
Yeah.
And the challenge for round one was to stick your hand in like that. It's really cold. Really, really cold. Do it for as long as you can. Hold it in there for as long as you can, but don't swear.
So the first video you're going to see is the one where we're not allowed to swear, but we had to have something to say because it is freezing cold. So what we decided on was, go on, pigs, instead of any swearing, obviously.
A classic.
It is, and it kind of helped.
And the key, right, is to not use anything that sounds a little bit like a swear word or could, you know, give you that same sort of reaction as a swear word. So you've just gone for something kind of nondescript.
Yeah.
Classic.
Okay.
Go on, pigs isn't nondescript, but I can see what you mean in this scientific situation.
And we're seeing if we can have our hand in there in the freezing cold water for longer if we swear. However, obviously swearing is bad, kids, don't do it. But if you are the kind of person that is a potty mouth and swears a lot, then it won't work. Is that true?
Exactly, yeah, because, well, we'll have a look at what happens, but it's all about that response that your body gets from swearing. And if you're using, you know, if you're always effing blind all over the place, then it's just not going to have as much effect on your body.
Oh. Anyway. All right, so get onto the Radio 1 website because we're about to play this video. First one is me and Becky plunging our hands into the freezing, icy cold water. All we're allowed to say to express our pain is the phrase from this show, well, the Archers originally, go on pigs. All right, so get online now, bbc.co.uk/radio1. Here comes video number one.
Three, two, one.
Stifle the swear words.
Go on, pigs!
Go on, pigs.
That's it, let it out.
Go on, pigs.
Go on, pigs.
But look at pain.
I can't do it.
Go on, pigs.
Go on, pigs. Go on, pigs. Go on, pigs. Go on, pigs. Go on, pigs.
Oh, no.
He's done. Right, Becky. Becky, 34 seconds. Scott, 36 seconds.
God, that's cold.
So that was the first one with no swearing. I did do a lot of go on pigs there, but it really helped me. So what were we on then?
So Becky got 34 seconds and you got 36 seconds.
Right, so kind of similar, but I won.
Yeah.
Not that it's a competition. No, I know. Okay, so as we move on, we did exactly the same experiment, but we were allowed to swear just to see if that helps with the pain. Now, because obviously we're not allowed to swear because there are lots of children listening and lots of people that don't like swear words, what we did was we made these signs, which if you are on the website now, you can see. Greg is holding it to his actual face and it's a stick with censored on it. Turn the card around. That's right, it's a Scott Mills Radio 1 DJ photo card. Turn it back. So you see that if we are swearing, that sign that says censored in big letters, you won't see anything.
Yeah, but you'll hear it.
Well, no, we've kind of beeped it out.
Oh, OK, I was going to say, someone has remembered that it's not just on the video, there is sound that goes with it
I really
well.
Hope so, because
so do I.
Scott really went for it.
Yeah. So let's see if it helps. We've got 34 seconds for Becky, 36 seconds for me, no swearing. Here we go, everybody, on the website, video number two.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, God!
Thank you. Seriously, can't feel my hand. Wow. Some people are saying that it all sounds really wrong. I don't think the music really helped. I've seen a film like that before. Yes, Becky?
Can I just say that actually in that section, like, I might have done one swear word, but I was laughing so much because every single other beep was you. I couldn't swear because I was just... I basically collapsed with laughter at the fact that all these words were coming out of your mouth.
However, let's now get the results from Greg Foote.
OK, so Becky's first time was 34 seconds without swearing. With seconds, with swearing, 48 seconds.
Oh.
So a good little increase there, not massive. Scott's first time was 36 seconds, and with swearing was 54 seconds. So that's a pretty good increase there.
Oh, I'm proud.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Do you want to know the science bit?
Yes, please.
Good.
What's the science bit?
Right, so you may think that the swearing is all about distraction, but actually scientists, and this has been done by a team at Keele University, who actually published this in a journal called the Journal of Pain. Brilliant.
Wow.
What a great name.
Is that their actual job?
Apparently so.
Brilliant.
So they found that that swearing generates an emotional response in the swearer, and it kind of stresses your body out a bit, and it makes your heart rate massively peak. Now, we had a little heart rate monitor on Scott, and it was about 75, 78 before we started. It rocketed right up to about 128.
It did.
And it kind of shows that your body is kind of doing this fight or flight response. It's telling your brain to release all these chemicals called endorphins that help you deal and tolerate with pain. So when you swear, you're stimulating this fight or flight response, and you're kind of producing these chemicals, and you're able to deal with pain better. Now, as you said earlier, Scott, the thing is, right, these researchers found that most people doubled their time from when they weren't swearing to when they were swearing.
Oh.
Yeah. And if you are a little bit of a potty mouth and you're used to effing and blinding, then you won't have as much of an effect. So if we look at Becky here, who actually only went from 34 to 48. I think the scientific conclusion there is either she wasn't swearing much, which, yeah, she wasn't, but also maybe she swears quite a lot in everyday life.
What's your evidence for me, Greg?
Well, yours was also not a massive increase, but there was still an increase.
Funny that.
The key thing here, though, is you want to save those swear words. You don't want to just throw them out willy-nilly, because if you swear all the time, then it's going to have no effect.
Right.
So you want to keep them in so that if you do hate yourself or whatever and you really need that response, that's your chance.
Now, when you did it, obviously you're a very clean-mouthed man. What was the result there on the show, on your BBC Three show?
I think I lasted just over a minute to begin with, and then it jumped to pretty much 3 minutes with swearing. Yeah,
you are good.
Yeah.
Aren't you a good boy?
Well, so the evidence would suggest.
Aren't you? Greg, thank you very much for coming in and making science fun again today. Watch it Sunday night, BBC Three, Secrets of Everything.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock, and it's the final episode.
Oh!
Yeah, I'll be looking at whether you can actually dig to Australia. Why fast food makes you fat, eating shed loads of calories during the day and then seeing how much it actually takes to burn off.
Did you get to do that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And looking, we do that one next week.
I'm just bringing loads of burgers and breakfast.
Yeah.
Results. And also looking at whether you can die of a broken heart.
Oh, yeah. Cute.
So 7 o'clock Sunday night.
And do come back and see us soon, because I like our regular thing.
Yes,
and if you want to come and fire stuff at Usher's Bottom tomorrow, feel free.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, Greg.
Cheers, Scott.
Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. So, Justin Bieber has a new song out called Boyfriend. Nobody knows what it sounds like. No lyrics anywhere. No one's heard the song. Surprisingly, it hasn't leaked onto the internet. You will hear what it sounds like on this show when we play it on Monday afternoon. Until then, each of us, me, Becky, Chris, are having a go at predicting what we think it will sound like. So we're kind of making a version of what we think it'll, you know, sound like. In Lady Gaga Born This Way, like we did before, didn't we? And I won, because she did country, eventually. Now, Becky, you went through the kind of old channels of saying that he's going to re-release one of his old songs, but with a hip-hop vibe.
Yeah, it's not a re-release. It's
a remake?
It's the same melody, basically, with different lyrics. But I think he's now got so famous that he could re-release one of his old tracks and no one would realise.
It'd still be, like, huge.
It'd still be massive.
Everywhere. Okay, so here's what Becky thought the new Justin Bieber song would sound like.
You got the fever, feel for the Bieber. He'll love you, he'll leave you, he's a diamond geezer. You got the fever, feel for the Bieber. He'll love you, he'll leave you, he's a diamond geezer. You got the fever, feel for the Bieber. He'll love you, he'll leave you, he's a diamond geezer. You got the fever, feel for the Bieber. He'll love you, he'll leave you, he's a diamond geezer.
Everywhere I travel, all around the world, all the ladies scream out, we all want to be a girl. They say, Justin, we're all lusting for you, Justin, because my name's Justin. I say, ladies, I'm happy to help you with that. I'm your fellow tonight, but we'll leave it at that, because tomorrow, you'll have sorrow. Please don't follow, I'm gone tomorrow.
I'm not your boyfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend. I've got too many girlfriends, girlfriends, girlfriends. I'll only break your heart, I'll cop off with a tart. When it's all gone dark, on a bench in the park. I'm not your boyfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend. I've had 9 girls this weekend, weekend, weekend. I can't remember them all, but I sure had a ball. I don't know what they're called, one of them said she's called Paul.
So let's see if that is the nearest to what it actually sounds like on Monday when we hear the Bieber track.
Do you know what, when I was editing the download this morning, I actually got to that bit and went, oh, what is that? And I was like, oh no, that's actually me.
You nearly said podcast then.
I did. I stopped myself. I said daily download.
I want to say it more. Podcast, 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 podcast.
We'll still be doing that when we go 1-4.
What, the podcast?
The download. So that was my attempt anyway.
Yeah.
As hideous as it is.
Now, I have to warn you, I haven't run mine through the auto-tune yet.
Oh.
Just because I wanted to, you know, hear you to hear it fresh off the, whatever it's called, fresh off the block. I don't know what that means.
Was mine auto-tuned?
Hell no.
Oh, right. I couldn't work it out if it was still that bad, even with auto-tune.
I will tweak mine.
Okay.
Now, what I think he's going to do with his new song is it's going to have a fairly deep message. And I think he's going to do a speaky bit at the start to explain the message of the song and what it's all about. So would you like to hear my version?
Yes.
This is what I think Justin Bieber's new track will sound like when we hear it on this show on Monday. Go. Go.
Hey, girl. You've been with that boyfriend of yours for a long time now. And while he may not be conventionally good-looking...
Some would say ugly.
You're totally smitten, kitten. Shorty, if only I could see what it is your boyfriend does to make you love him so much... Then maybe I could use his techniques.
Use his techniques.
To make you freak.
Make you freak.
With me. Instead of him. If you get what I'm trying to say. Somehow, I need to get inside his head. Listen. Late at night, I'm lying in my bed, wondering what words he has said, wondering if I said them instead.
What if I said those things he said to you?
Would you be mine if I could see you all the time? I could work out the things that you like if I could see you through his eyes.
I want to borrow his eyes.
I've got this jealousy. What does your fella see? Is it a fallacy? Baby, you and me, I want to see all that you need. If I was inside your boyfriend tonight, I'd see through his eyes what makes you feel alive. I'd do that too, and then you'd be my bride. If I was inside your boyfriend tonight, I'd see what makes you tick, and then I'd do it, and you love me. If I was inside your boyfriend tonight.
So yeah, what I think Justin's going to say there, if you didn't get the message of the song, is that he doesn't think that shorty should be with him anymore, and he wants to get inside his head and find out what makes her like him so much, so he can use his techniques.
Use his techniques.
That's brilliant.
Do you like it?
It's so good.
Thank you.
It kicks mine out of the park water, or whatever the expression
the park.
Is.
Yeah. Well, I know I didn't hit all of the highs, but we can sort that out, you know, when we do the finished version.
Have you got any... Can we just hear the little talking man again?
Do you want to hear the talking
bit? Deep voicey man, yeah.
This is how I think the Bieber song will start.
Hey, girl. You've been with that boyfriend of yours for a long time now. And while he may not be conventionally good-looking...
Some would say ugly.
You're totally smitten, kitten. Shorty, if only I could see what it is your boyfriend does to make you love him so much. Then maybe I could use his techniques...
Use his techniques.
...to make you freak...
Make you freak.
...with me instead of him. If you get what I'm trying to say. Somehow... I need to get inside his head. Listen.
I'm quite proud of that.
That's really good.
And also, I didn't use any kind of technology to make my voice deep then.
How did you do it?
Use his techniques.
Lower your voice.
Make you freak.
BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC.